Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, September 14th, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 113, beginning the second paragraph. We will read four paragraphs and share on all of them. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning, September 13th, 10 a.m., the number is 11,913, and for September 14th, this morning at 7 a.m., the reference number is 11,914, and our newcomer greeter today is Lynn S. OA Preamble. I should also mention reading our 12 steps is our CJH, 12 Traditions, Julie E., and reading the text are Penny LC, Wendy M., and Julie EB. Thank you. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask CJH to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Kathy K. Good morning, everyone. My name is CJ. I am a recovering compulsive eater living in Arkansas presently. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, CJ.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me read.
Thank you very much, CJH. And Julie E., would you read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, thank you. This is Julia E., the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting the other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Julia E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the direction in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study on page 113 in the Big Book, the second full paragraph beginning, if you have a number 3 husband. And I will ask Penny L.C. to get us started. Thank you, Penny.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. Thank you for your service, and good morning to you, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. If you have a number 3 husband, you may be in luck. Being certain he wants to stop, you can go to him with this volume as joyfully as though you had struck oil. He may not share your enthusiasm, but he is practically sure to read the book, and he may go for the program at once. If he does, you will probably not have long to wait. Again, you should not crowd him. Let him decide for himself. Cheerfully see him through more sprees. Talk about his condition or this book only when he raises the issue. In some cases, it may be better to let someone outside the family present the book. They can urge action without arousing hostility. If your husband is otherwise a normal individual, your chances are good at this stage. You would suppose that men in the 4th classification would be quite hopeless, but that is not so. Many of Alcoholics Anonymous were like that. Everybody had given up on them. Defeat seemed certain. Yet often such men had spectacular and powerful recoveries. There are exceptions. Some men have been so impaired by alcohol that they cannot stop. Sometimes there are cases where alcoholism is complicated by other disorders. A good doctor or psychiatrist can tell you whether these complications are serious. In any event, try to have your husband read this book. His reaction may be one of enthusiasm. If he is already committed to an institution, but can convince you and your doctor that he means business, give him a chance to try our method. Unless the doctor thinks his mental condition too abnormal or dangerous. We make this recommendation with some confidence. For years, we have been working with alcoholics committed to institutions. Since this book was first published, AA has released thousands of alcoholics from asylums and hospitals of every kind. The majority have never returned. The power of God goes deep. You may have the reverse situation on your hands. Perhaps you have a husband who is at large, but who should be committed. Some men cannot or will not get over alcoholism. When they become too dangerous, we think the kind thing is to lock them up. But of course, a good doctor should always be consulted. The wives and children of such men suffer horribly, but not more than the men themselves. And in reading these passages and this chapter completely, my focus is as if this were more instruction on my 12-step work. I'm trying to glean more direction on how to deal with those still suffering. And what I've learned from my own experience and from what I have been instructed in these pages is that I need to be sure to approach without any expectations and to, you know, have that light touch. Be sure that I'm not trying to manage or manipulate or mother the individual. They do need to decide for themselves. Because I know that no one could decide for me. No one could convince me until I was ready. And I have to remember that when I'm approaching anyone with my disease. And I have to approach with that same, you know, love and compassion, patience, tolerance, kindness that has been shown me by others in this program. And I need to approach that individual with acceptance. No matter if they are open to it or not, all I can do is offer my experience, strength, and hope, and then turn them over. Let go and let God. I have to remember that my job is to be a conduit for God's love and light. An open channel, and always be asking myself, what would God have me be in this situation? How would God have me approaching this individual? That's my guiding light. I have to remember that the addict, just as I was, is suffering in pain. And sometimes that defensiveness is simply the manifestation of that pain. And so therein lies my key. When I'm trying to do what I can to reach out and take the hand of another suffering in my disease, to do it with love. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC. So who else would like to share on these paragraphs?
Hi, my name is Charles Dish.
Wendy M.
Julie E.B.
Okay, I heard Charles A., Wendy M., Julie E.B. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Wendy B.
Karen M.
Wendy B. and Karen M. Okay, let's stop there, and then we'll get another group later. Charles H., please share with us.
Thank you, Special K, for your service. Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling from the Rocky Mountains. Grateful to be, you know, alive today. And, you know, I was just thinking of, it says, I'm going to drill down where it says, since the book was first published, AA has released thousands of alcoholics from asylums and hospitals of every kind. And this reminds me of, in A Vision for You, Chapter 11, Bankruptcy, no one has sunk low, don't quote me, it's early, no one has sunk low enough to be discredited, right? And, you know, as a recovered compulsive overeater, just trying to carry the message, right, be a fountain, don't be a drain, don't be one of them people that be like, you know, pointing out everything wrong. It just says that many thousands of alcoholics have been released from asylums and hospitals. Whether you 1, 2, 3, or 4, I could tell you I was a type 2 diabetic, and I don't take insulin no more. The power of God runs deep. You know, we hear some people are stranded, right? And I'm hearing some 4 steps and some 10 steps, and we're here picking up people. And the text says don't get crowded, but we're going to be crowded in this Highlander because the power of God runs deep. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles H. Wendy M., please share with us.
Yes, good morning. This is Wendy M., recovered in, not in Boulder right now. I'm in Estes Park with, I'll be with about 160 visionaries. I can't wait. You know, and that's the power of God runs deep. So the first thing it says here is let him decide for himself. You should not crowd him. I'm like, what are they talking about? My whole life is about deciding for you and crowding you, right? Because I need to control you. My needs get met. Like, what's my motive here, right? And I want to force my will on you so that my agenda, it's my agenda, not yours, right? So that's where I come from. That's the mindset that I come from. And then I have this chip of a book that tells me that I'm not in the convincing game. It's not up to me, in, you know, when I'm sponsoring or whatever, in life in general, right? Because these pages are not just about the compulsive overeater alcoholic. They're about life. They're about how I relate to other human beings, right? So this book says, stop. You need to just stop. And, you know, I love the wait, W-A-I-T. Why am I talking? And often I'm talking because I want to decide for you and I want to crowd you and I want to convince you. And it turns out I don't have to do any of those things. What freedom, what a surrender, what freedom I get, you know. And expectations lately, I've just really looked at this piece, are planned resentments, right? And the higher my expectations, the lower my serenity. Absolutely, right? So I get to let this all go, right? So I get to let it go. I get to let you go, right? And then I get to get myself go. Like, what surrender is there? The expectations of myself, lower them. Absolutely lower them. You know, and in God's world, it all, there's no mistakes, right? And the power of God goes deep. I can't even imagine God's plan. God is so vast, I can't even fathom the plan for my life. I have no idea. I can't imagine because God is beyond my imagination, right? And they say in this program, like, I experience God all the time. I'm not sure God exists, but I do experience God constantly. So I probably think God exists. But God's vast, right? And, I mean, things like this, like I'm entirely abstinent, which means I'm neutral with food. What is that, right? And they say the only thing that changes is absolutely everything. But the miracles, you know, run deep, right? So the one of the miracles I heard somebody say on the line a while back is the change in my perception, the mind shift, is the miracle, right? Same person, same circumstances. My change in perception, God allows that. But it only happens if I decide to plug in. I literally, in my mind, take that plug and put it into the wall socket. And the minute I do that, I am good to go. It's that simple. The book says lean in. That's it. Teeny little effort of putting that plug in the wall socket and knowing, oh my God, I have power beyond power, right? And recovered is simply, I don't think the way I used to think. I don't eat the way I used to eat. I don't behave the way I used to behave. And when I'm behaving the way I used to behave, I get to plug into that wall socket, right? I get to think differently. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Julie E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie, gratefully recovered in Colorado, where it's going to be beautiful for this gathering today. But prayerful and mindful of those struggling with weather in other parts of the country. This book is, this volume did this for me. Someone came to my face-to-face meeting, and they spoke of this book as joyfully as if they had struck oil. And I called that person, and that was the beginning. But I also want to share experience, strength, and hope around being there for a family member. And here's the deal. The power of God goes deep, it says. I have not been able to be helpful to my family because I'm so amazing, and I have perfect program, and I don't ever have any problems or difficulty. But with the help of this book, working the program, my sponsor, my family saw something in me, and I have had the blessing of watching family members both release their weight and some of their burdens, most particularly for one family member who I supported through some sprees and some diets and just cheerfully was able to be there but share what works for me, that the food was never, the power of the food did not go deep. It was so shallow. The power of God goes deep. And this family member has complications that are serious, so serious that a fellow told this person if they couldn't do certain things, they could never get recovered, and those things were harmful to that person's mental health. But that person persisted and kept going anyway, thanks to some great outreach support I got on the line. The power of God goes deep, and that family member is trying that program today and getting relief and release and still on the road. Who knows where it will go? As the OA Daily Reader says, I just try with my family every day. I love you. I bless you. I release you to your indwelling higher power. That's what I seek to do with my family. Sometimes I'm on the other side of the street in their business, but I keep coming back and keep staying in this book. And God keeps forgiving me, giving me corrective action. And with the help of 10, 11, and 12, I'm grateful to be entirely abstinent and sane for this moment. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Wendy B., please share with us.
Yeah, good morning. This is Wendy B. in Arizona, recovered. And these paragraphs are about, you know, husband number three, you know, who he has no friends left, his home is wrecked, he lost his job, the doctor's been called, he knows he can't drink like a normal person, but he still thinks he'll find a way to do it. And then it's also about husband number four, who is institutionalized, he's violent or insane, he has the DTs, and he's pronounced hopeless, you know, and we don't have to wait till we sink this low. You know, we don't have to keep digging our grave. You know, I didn't have to. I didn't have to wait for morbid obesity or diabetes, you know. And we can turn to God and choose life at any point. You know, he sets before us the choice of life or death, blessings or cursings, and we can choose life. He's provided us with, you know, the support and the guidance we need through the big book and this phone line. And he's deep inside of each of us, urging us to choose life and freedom, you know, to choose recovery. And the power to do so is within our grasp. We just need to fall on our knees and ask for help. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Karen M., please share with us.
Hi, this is Karen M., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California in the Rocky Mountains right now with a carload of folks. And I was struck by the line, you know, you can go to him as joyfully as though you'd struck oil. And that is like the way I feel about having the opportunity to be in the big book, to read the big book, but to work the steps in my daily life, that's where striking oil really happens. Because, man, I have a lot of ground to cover. And it is true. God goes deep. And when I'm with other recovered compulsive overeaters and those who are recovering, and when I'm in the midst of the fellowship while I work my steps, there is no end to the amount of joy and oil that I can, you know, tap into. As long as I'm tapping into that God who runs deep, and we are having deep conversations at the surface level here as we are together, and that is what is so beautiful. And thank you. I am just so grateful. With that, I pass.
Thank you for your share, Karen M. Okay, we have now the opportunity to hear from five or six more people who would like to share.
This is Priya H.
Okay, I two of you, but I didn't get either of your names. Can you try again?
It's Priya H.
Priya H. Okay, and the other?
Robin P.
Robin T. Who else?
CJ H. Sherry KB.
CJ H. Sherry KB. Maybe one more? Anybody else? Okay. Freya H., please share with us.
Thank you. My name is Freya H., grateful, recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate hearing this chapter because I haven't had the opportunity to study it before. And there was a lot in here that struck me with a lot of meaning. And in general, just that idea, you know, it says very clearly there are exceptions, you know, that some men cannot or will not get over alcoholism. And just to really accept that is, you know, that I get to let go and trust that is, that God has a plan for each person, you know, whether it means finding a very visible recovery or it means something else in their life, that I don't have to judge when I look at another person. And when I think about myself, you know, did I come into, you know, run, you know, ecstatically into the rooms of OA? Absolutely not. You know, like the first time I heard about it, it took me years and years. And so whenever I think about that, I'm reminded that like, oh yeah, I don't know what's best for another person. I don't know what God's timetable is for them. And neither do I hold in my mind this idea that, oh, someday they'll make it into a room. It's like, well, maybe they will if that, you know, if God knows that's what's best for them, maybe they won't. And I lost a family member to, you know, pretty directly to this disease. And so when I see the lines that talk about, you know, there are other complications, I know that on a really deep level, that like there are, that this isn't, you know, this isn't a happily ever after story coming into recovery, which I really wanted it to be at the beginning. But I just know for myself that it is my struggles that really allow me to be of service today. You know, the things that came easily, when I talk with the sponsee, I can't really help them with things that I didn't struggle with. But the things that I struggled with and that I got to learn about and I got to, you know, be led through and guided by this program and fellows, those are the things that that's the places where I feel like I can be of service and that I have so much compassion. So I'm really grateful. Like that's also what I was hearing in here was just be that I get to approach everybody, no matter where they are, with compassion, and that allows me to be peaceful no matter what. So really just turn them all over to their higher power, especially myself. You know, my recovery, I place it in God's hands and stop fretting about what my recovery should look like. That really puts me in a place where I am able to just focus on what's the next right thing. You know, just being present with my higher power instead of having some idea of what that relationship is supposed to look like. Like that to me is the ultimate surrender. So thank you so much for letting me share, and looking forward to meeting some other fellows in recovery this weekend. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Robin T., please share with us.
Hi, this is Robin P., like Peter in
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It's hard to hear it. And I'm a graceful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And, you know, I feel like I identify. I've been on both sides of the spectrum, having grown up in an abusive alcoholic home and just feeling so powerless over other people's addictions and just knowing there was something wrong but not knowing how to fix it in any way. And I've also been that person where people have looked at me at being 80 pounds at the time and wondering how I was going to live and if I was going to live, and me thinking I just needed to lose a few more pounds. You know, this addiction takes on many different faces. In my opinion, I've been just an overeater. I've been anorexic. I've been bulimic. I've been through the gamut. And it's just, you know, looking for food to be the solution. And I believe that the gift of desperation is the best gift that we can have to begin these steps. And when I work with, and it says here, you know, like you can have hope. I mean, and this is written by people who, you know, Bill had people in his house who hung themselves, you know, and he still knew that most of the people who came through his doors with Ian Lois, that they were actually, they recovered. And you know, and he says that we must have a faith that works 24/7 or we will perish. And so as long as we're willing to have that faith, I believe, and as long as I'm willing to have that faith 24/7, I get to have one day at a time in recovery here. And when I sponsor people, the only thing that I ask them is what my sponsor asked me. Are you desperate enough to go to any lengths to recover? And, you know, and it's that gift of desperation. And I wholeheartedly went, yes, I am. You know, and I've spoken with people who I would think they've hit their bottom. Like, oh, my gosh, that must be your bottom, you know, and they're not done yet. And they just go, they don't think that they're willing to pick up the phone instead of the food or to, you know, work the steps or to sponsor others once they do work the steps. And everyone has their own path, and God is their God. I am not their God. You know, I met a woman once who called herself jokingly Mrs. God because her husband had called her that, and that she learned not to be Mrs. God anymore. And so I just get to remember, like, everyone has their own higher power. I'm not them. There's my business, God's business, and none of my business. And I just get to carry the message for people who want it, not necessarily for people who need it. I'm not in charge. So with that, I pass. God bless everybody in recovery. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin P. CJH, please share with us.
Hi, Kathy K. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, we are not a glum lot. I have to say thank you to the last lovely woman that spoke. I'm laughing. Don't be Mrs. God. Thank you, thank you. That one is going to, I wrote it in my book. I love it. The attitude, that just brings me to attitude. This I'm hearing and reading, just these marvelous words in here, joyfully, enthusiasm, cheerfully. And I'll tell you, as a compulsive eater, in my cups, I was ugly. I was all these things that are described in 4, 3, and 4. My friend slipped away. I was in near wreck. I couldn't hold a job. I couldn't eat like other people.
And I couldn't see why. That was my thing, too, is I didn't understand why. I was always asking questions why. I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to have an answer. I was trying to have a solution. And I just forget it. It just never worked. And then as I progressed, I became so violent. And, you know, I hate to admit, but I hit my children, and I would push my husband, and I would throw things. And I was just so sick and so hurting, and would just stand in the middle of my house that was so beautiful and my healthy family, and I would just go, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And I would just cry, but I would just come right back up, go into the food, and the cycle would start all over, you know. No matter how many times I tried to stop, it never mattered. And when I first started to read this book, this chapter really made me angry. I thought it was written by a chauvinist, and they need to change this, and this is horrible. And then I was told, well, you have to realize it comes after the 12 steps and that there's a reason that this attitude here is one that comes from doing the work, you know, from the steps, from making amends, and this being able to be joyful and enthusiastic and cheerful, even when the people around me are maybe still suffering in their disease or, you know, no matter where I am, this can apply, you know, at work, at home. And what is the way I stay enthusiastic and cheerful? Those two things. And joyful. Who wants what I have if I'm walking around with my face on the floor? Nobody. You know, and that's me running the show again, right? And I just so love what's been shared today. And I will take all of you with me into the rest of this day. And the power that goes so deep in my life today, and that is this power of love and service. And it is only by the gift of God in this program, you know, having an open mind, being willing, talking and listening to others talk about humility and all of these attributes that one day at a time start to build and live in my soul, so that this real enthusiasm and joy and cheerfulness is not fake and phony. And when I'm not there, I really truly have a way to get back there with the steps and the fellowship. You know, touching the three sides of that triangle every day of unity, service, and recovery brings me back into the circle of life, you know, instead of on the outside where I had been all of my life. And I cannot say how grateful I am to God in this program. And I just want to send all my love and prayers out to all of our fellows who are gathering this weekend. And I know what a miracle it's going to be and the great things that will come from it. This program is amazing, and I'm so grateful today to be a part of it. Thanks for letting me be here, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, CJH. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line. And I'm going to jump right in here. I love this, that it says that you can go to him with this volume as joyful as though you had struck gold. I know that when I've been in an OA meeting and I carry the cards for a vision for you, and I put my phone number on the back, and I see somebody who looks pretty, you know, distraught, and I go over, and they're like, wow, you know, you seem so happy, and, you know, and I tell them about how this work in the steps this way in this big book has changed my life, and I never thought it would, and I do it with a lot of enthusiasm and joy. I really do, and because I am excited. I love this work. I absolutely love it. And so, you know, it does pique their interest for sure, because I also know that through the years I have been with people who arouse hostility in me because of them forcing something down my throat. And I don't think that's the way to go at all. I've had some pretty interesting sponsors through the years, and it didn't work for me, but this works for me. And that also, just when it says such men had spectacular and powerful recoveries, that we can recover and so can you. And that's what's so amazing, is that if we follow the directions in this book, we can recover. Anyone can recover if they have the capacity to be honest and to do this work. And then it says have them read this book. And, you know, for me, reading this book by myself didn't work, but when I read it with a step guide and I was taken through, it opened a whole new world for me. That's what's so amazing. And to me, it's a WE program. And so for me, my reaction was so different when I heard it from a recovered step guide. That just made such a difference for me. and give them a chance to try a method. Like, I don't shove it down people's throat. I just go, here, here. You know, I lay the spiritual toolkit at their feet and say, here, you know, do you want to, would you like to get recovered? Because this is the path to do it in. And then just, you know, how deep God does go. That's what's amazing to me. And I just want to say, if you're interested in working the steps and you happen to be in Northern California or live close to San Rafael, we're having a workshop starting September 20th through December 20th to work the steps. And we're doing a step a week so you can get introduced to this big book. So come on down. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. We have time for maybe two more shares. Would anybody like to share?
Tracy B.
Tracy B, you said? Okay, anyone else? One more share?
Joanne B.
Joanne B., thank you very much. Okay, Terry, please share with us. Press star one to unmute.
Did you mean Tracy?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tracy. Yes.
That's okay.
Go ahead. Thank you.
I just wanted to share this morning and thank you for your service and, you know, just share about the transformation in my life from doing these steps and getting recovered and actually working with others. And as Sherry KB just said, you know, I've been in another 12-step program going on 10 years, and I've worked the steps, but not like this, and it's amazing. And I'm actually starting to work with others and reading the big book with them. And it is, it's so different when I'm actually, when I read it with my step guide, and now I'm working with others and reading it with them. And it gives me cold chills as I'm speaking, because it's just like shed a whole new light on the big book and the steps and what they mean and recovery. And, you know, and I never thought I would be able to say that I was recovered. And I can say that today. And I know it's only by the grace of God, my higher power, by doing the steps and staying in the steps and working with others and being other-centered and not self-centered. So I just wanted to say thank you for everyone for being here, and thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Tracy. And Joanne B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Joanne B. from Texas. And first I want to say thank you so much for your service and for everyone who speaks on this line. This is the first time I've ever really gone through. Apparently, I've read it a little bit, this chapter, because I have some marking in it. But it's so wonderful to hear what other people think and how they apply it. I'm actually starting to see how it applies to me as the one in the addiction. But what's amazing is it's bringing to life more of how to work with someone else who's suffering. And I've not gotten to go through chapter 7 with a sponsor yet. I've gotten to go through it with Vision. And so it's been everyone on the line that speaks. It has been helping me through it. And it's just helping me to see more and more how to approach someone and how not to approach them and how to just love them. And the truth of recover, recover, recover is coming to life for me. I didn't really understand why we said that, but that's really kind of cool. And anyway, just thank you so much for everyone on this line. And y'all helped me to stay recovered, and I'm so grateful for everything. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Would anyone else like to share? We do have a few minutes.
Courtney from Connecticut.
Please share with us, Courtney.
Hi, it's good to be here this morning. I love the reading, and I definitely think God goes and runs deep, and I hope he continues to do this with me. I was given the big book when I was 22 years old. I was in a hospital, an institution that was also a very major, well-known place. Anyway, I remember reading the big book. I got up to maybe page 50 or 100 or something like that, 74 or whatever page I got to, and, you know, I just wasn't in shape. I'd, you know, symptoms of drug abuse and serious drugs and, you know, terrible hidden things that I forgot about and then came up in my adult life and realized I just couldn't get over it so easily. But God does run deep. He's always been very, very good to me. And in facing life, I have to improve my relationship with myself before I can get some things that God knows I want. And I'm doing better with abstinence, and the real reason is because I've stuck it through with whatever I keep learning and doing and really realizing about abstinence, that I'm free when I'm abstinent, but I guess that's the way it goes. And when I'm abstinent, I'm free. So in other words, if I want to get free, I'm going to have to be abstinent, you know? And you know, I'm having a nicer relationship with the God of my understanding. And thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Courtney. Okay, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Thank you all for being here, and thank you all who shared. Wendy M., would you please read? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.